When we look in the scriptures, we see something happening over and over again to men who are part of God's covenant people. We see a pattern in the Bible when men come into His presence and something happens to them, and it's quite predictable. They become painfully aware when this happens to them of their sinfulness. For example, we think of Isaiah's vision of God in the temple, which we're all familiar with that story in the scripture. But it's there as a powerful reminder where Isaiah comes into the presence of God, and how does he respond? He responds with, "Woe is me, for I am a man of unclean lips, and I am undone." He says, "For my eyes have seen the King, Yahweh of hosts." Then we don't have to look too much farther in the prophets, and we come to Ezekiel in chapter 1, where he had a similar experience when he had a vision of the glory of God by the river Chebar. And here Ezekiel in that vision proclaims, or he falls on his face once he sees the vision. And also the beloved apostle, the apostle John, when he confronted with the glory of Christ in the book of Revelation chapter 1, had this response. He fell at his feet as though he was dead. That's what happens to men when they come into the presence of God and experience His glory and His holiness. They need to keep in mind that none of these men were particularly horrible sinners. In fact, quite the opposite was actually true. They were men who were in covenant with God. They were men, from what we can tell, from what we read about them, who truly feared the Lord. And they truly wanted to honor Him in what they were doing. Since the days of Isaiah and Ezekiel and John, the Lord has not changed, and we need to remind ourselves of this. The way He was back then is the way He is today. Therefore, each week when we come together to worship here at Providence Church, the Lord God, into whose presence Isaiah and Ezekiel and John came in, it's the same Lord that we come into His presence today together. As Isaiah tells us, He is the Lord who is high and lifted up. He is the Lord whose train fills the temple. He is the Lord whom the unfallen, sinless angels, the seraphim, could not bear to look upon, and who were compelled in His presence to cry out to one another, "Holy, holy, holy is the Lord of hosts. The whole earth is filled with His glory." So as we come into God's presence, if we become aware of our sin, we should not be surprised. This doesn't happen in a lot of churches across America today, to call people into the presence of God to once again recognize His absolute holiness and our utter sinfulness and need for Him. And because of that, people do not appreciate enough what Christ has done for us. They just don't. They don't understand the gospel in that sense. But we have come into God's presence to worship Him. And we have every right to feel guilty and sinful except for Christ who forgives. So as Isaiah did and Ezekiel did and John did, may we bow down before our God now and confess our sins together. And then receive that assurance of pardon from the Word of God. So let's pray together. In Revelation 4:8, it says, "And the four living creatures, each one of them having six wings, full of eyes around and within, day and night did not cease to say, 'Holy, holy, holy is the Lord God, the Almighty, who was, and who is, and who is to come.'" Let's confess our sins together. Father, we thank You that You are a holy God who does not change. And the right response on our part is to bow before You in awe. and understanding, Lord, that we are sinful people, and yet we are also a people who you have blessed greatly through Christ. So, Father, we thank you for not dealing with us according to our sin. Thank you, Lord, for not rewarding us according to our iniquities. And as the Scriptures remind us, for as high as the heavens are above the earth, so great is your loving kindness towards us who fear him. So we give you praise for removing our sins from us this day and always, and removing them as far as the east is from the west. We are truly those who are a blessed people. For unlike many, we are those indeed whose transgressions are forgiven. And so now we come into your presence, God, and may we worship you in a way that we've never done before, with all of our hearts and mind and soul and strength. In Jesus' name, amen. Amen. For our confession of sin today, we're going to do something a little different. I wanted to read some of the portions of Scripture that had to do with Christmas. So today we're actually going to read the prophecy of Zechariah together. You remember Zechariah, he was a prophet, and on this one particular day, by way of Lot, he was determined in God's providence to go into the temple and offer up sacrifices. And when he goes in there, there's an angel there to the right of the altar and begins to speak with him. Now, if you know, Zacharias was married to Elizabeth, who was barren without child. And when this angel confronts Zacharias, he is a bit disturbed for a time. And then Zacharias says this to the angel. After the angel actually tells Zacharias that his wife's going to bear a child, and he just not sure how to handle this. This is a big surprise. And it says here, and Zacharias said to the angel, "How shall I know this for certain?" How do I know for certain that this is going to happen to my bride? "For I am an old man, and my wife is advanced in years." Two counts against this happening, all right? And the angel answered and said to him, "Well, I am Gabriel, who stands in the presence of God, and I have been sent to speak to you and to bring you good news. And behold, you shall be silent and unable to speak until the day when these things take place, because you did not believe my words, which shall be fulfilled in their proper time." And the people were waiting for Zacharias and were wondering at his delay in the temple. But when he came out, he was unable to speak to them, and they realized that he had seen a vision in the temple. And he kept making signs to them and remained mute. And it came about, when the days of his priestly service were ended, that he went back home. And after these days, Elizabeth, his wife, became pregnant. No surprise. God can do things like this. And she kept herself in seclusion for 5 months, saying, "This is the way the Lord has dealt with me in the days when he looked with favor upon me to take away my disgrace among men." Well, not too long, Elizabeth gives birth to her son. And then on the eighth day, he is to be circumcised as a child to receive the mark of the covenant. And there was some question as to what were they going to name him, and all the people around says, "Well, you know, we're going to name him Zacharias." And so they asked Elizabeth. She said, no, his name's going to be John, because that's what they were instructed by the angel to name the child. And then they hand the pen and the tablet to Zacharias, because he's the one that had the final say in this matter, and he writes down his name is John. And then at that point, his tongue begins to work again. And he begins to offering up praises to God. And that brings us to this prophecy that he proclaims here, which we're going to read together. You want to put that up there? Oh, there it is. Okay. What I'd like you to do, I'll read the stuff to the left, and anything that's indented, I'd like the congregation to read with me. "And his father, Zacharias, was filled with the Holy Ghost. And he prophesied, saying this, 'Blessed be the Lord God of Israel, for he hath visited and redeemed his people, and hath raised up a horn of salvation for us in the house of his servant David, as he raised up the mouth of the holy prophets, which had been sent to the world again, that we should be saved from our enemies, and from the hand of all
that he would grant us us, that he being delivered out of the hand of our enemy, might serve him without fear, in holiness and righteousness before him, all the days of our lives.
And thou, child, shall be called the prophet of the highest, for thou shalt go before the face of the Lord to prepare his way.
Give knowledge of salvation unto his people by the remission of their sins.
Through the tender mercy of our God, whereby the day spring of on high has visited us.
To give light to them that sit in darkness, and in the shadow of death, to guide us.